An older type of sequential MOST IC, which deserves mentioning, is the shift register SR. An SR can be considered as a number of memory cells connected in series. The logic content of an SR can be propagated or shifted by applying clock signals, which force all individual cells to pass their information on to the neighboring cell. Again, there is a variety in types of cell. Static SRs use flip-flops as cells. Dynamic SRs rely on capacitor charge storage. Static SRs are electrically easy to handle, but dissipate more power than dynamic SRs, which have the disadvantage of carrying complex clocking arrangements, but, on the other hand, are faster, up to 10 MHz clock frequency. Before terminating the review of MOST ICs, a word should be said on the switching speeds encountered in MOST ICs, which are, reputedly, slow compared to bipolar ICs. In both types of IC, the pulse delay time is mainly caused by charging and discharging of node capacitances and may, in a simple form, be expressed by T sub D equals C delta V over I, where C is the node capacitance, delta V is the nodal voltage swing, and I the average current into the node. I is usually supplied by a transistor, which, including its input circuit, is controlled by a voltage of equal amplitude, delta V. Comparing MOST and bipolar ICs, we see that C is usually smaller in MOST ICs on account of smaller dimensions. However, delta V over I is considerably larger in MOST ICs, simply because the MOST with its usual dimensions doesn't turn on and conduct as easily as a bipolar transistor. This fundamental difference between the two types of transistor will not easily be compensated by improvements in MOST IC technology. Section 4, New Trends. The revolution, or better, the evolution, in electronic integrated circuits has been going on for about 10 years, and insiders think that this is only the beginning. A pressing need to tackle problems like traffic control, environmental control, information storage and retrieval will further stimulate the improvement and diversification of ICs. An area famous for its size, but also very receptive to ICs, is the consumer market, comprising all the personal electronic gadgets surrounding a human being in our civilization. Undoubtedly, this market will still show some elasticity, although saturation effects are noticeable. In the biomedical engineering field, sophisticated IC systems integrated with transducers will evolve. Another area, which is always short of money, but carries an honest purpose to man's well-being, is educational electronics. Educational programs for more or less developed countries may benefit enormously from cheap communication and display sets equipped with ICs. All these prospects give rise to specific trends or developments in the IC world, of which we should like to mention improvements in technology, new device and circuit concepts, improvements in design techniques. We shall briefly survey some examples of these developments, not forgetting mention of adequate literature references where more detailed treatments may be found. Subsection 4.1, Technology Improvements. The pressure of technological improvement stems from the desire to increase the product reliability and to improve its electrical characteristics. A fascinating activity might be called layer deposition, and in fact includes deposition techniques on silicon of various kinds of layers, mostly by gaseous reactions at elevated temperature. In the low-cost technique, local oxidation of silicon is effected by masking the residual silicon with a silicon nitride layer. This technique offers more flexibility in IC design. Also, the silicon nitride provides an impermeable seal to impurities, better than a silicon oxide layer. By the Silox technique, silicon oxide or glass layers may be obtained by the oxidation of gaseous silane at a low temperature. The glass layers can easily be doped with boron or phosphorus and be used as diffusion sources to obtain N or P layers in the silicon wafer. Because doped oxides are more flexible as diffusion sources than the conventional liquid sources, the technologists of our IC lab have developed an MOST IC manufacturing process based on Silex, outlined in Table 1. and shown in slide 17. The silicon gate technique is an MOST IC fabrication technique which employs grown polycrystalline silicon layers as the gate metal. Advantages are a small gate threshold voltage and a good lateral definition, favoring small structures for high frequencies. A layer deposition technique, which has taken rather a long time to develop from lab to production, is ion implantation. In this technique, the doping is implanted by ion bombardment with energies around 1 MeV. The method allows beautiful control of doped quantities and produces very shallow layers, and is interesting for high-frequency ICs. Subsection 4.2, New Device and Circuit Concepts. The examples which we would like to mention are the bucket brigade line and the charge coupling line. Both devices are shift registers which transport information in the form of discrete tiny charges. In the bucket brigade line, the charge is being transferred along a long capacitor line, the charge transfer being governed by MOS transistors between adjacent capacitors. The bucket brigade principle is very well suited for analog signal delay purposes. The charge coupling line is of an even simpler construction and consists of a series of gate electrodes in the form of narrow stripes positioned on SiO2 Si with a very small interdistance, very approximately 5 microns. An inversion charge of, say, mobile holes may be shifted from one gate to the next by an appropriate gate pulse sequence. Although in conception very simple, the development of the charge coupling line struggles with fundamental problems, like loss of charge by recombination, and the search for effective means of information input and output when the line is to be used for analog purposes. Subsection 4.3, Improvements in Design Techniques. IC design, especially in the bipolar ambient, has often been practiced by breadboarding, that is, by building the circuit from discrete components and altering the layout until a satisfactory performance is obtained, the circuit then being translated into a set of IC masks. Whilst being an acceptable simulation procedure for DC operation, breadboarding fails to predict the transient behavior of fast circuits due to the large difference in capacitance values of the breadboard circuit and the actual IC. A solution seems to be computer simulation, provided that adequate models are available for the IC components. Because of the inherent complexity of the bipolar transistor's operation, a large variety of models for the transistor have been conceived, the most simple and popular being the Ebers-Moll model. Most models ignore the presence of the parasitic PNP in the integrated NPN and contain parameters which are difficult to measure on actual IC structures. An effort to introduce a model which takes these aspects into account has been tried in our student text on bipolar ICs. With regard to MOST models, a good paper has recently appeared which settles the matter for the time being. This is Meyer's paper, MOS Circuits and Circuit Simulation, in the RCA Review, Volume 32, 1971. In the field of computer circuit analysis, a number of programs have been published or are recently being introduced. ECAP2 deserves to be mentioned as a new program of great flexibility. The way the simulation programs work is that they produce the circuit voltages and currents for a set of input conditions, provided that the entire circuit with component values is given. The possibility of automated optimization of component values would be the next step in simulation. However, there is a problem in the excessive computer time needed for such jobs. Section 5, University Training in IC Design. The role of the IC in the electrical engineering curriculum is becoming a matter of increasing concern to the teaching staff of any EE department. The question is, how much should be taught about ICs, their operation, their construction, their design? I believe that practically all future electrical engineers will have to do with ICs, a majority as users, a smaller number as designers. This means that all EE students should be taught the principles of junction and MOST devices and the use of ICs in electronic systems. In the case that the student intends to become an IC designer, it doesn't necessarily imply that he will become an employee of an IC manufacturer. There is a growing fashion among firms active in the manufacture of data handling, measuring, communication, and consumer equipment to employ their own IC designers, standing between the system designer and the IC supplier. In Table 2, we have assembled a tentative curriculum for a would-be IC designer to be educated in a four-year course. Table 2, University IC Design EE course. Basic course, 2 years. General physics, mathematics, electronics, network analysis, EM field theory, electronic materials, basic semiconductor physics and device physics, switching circuits, control theory, linear algebra, Fourier analysis, electronic measurements. Advanced course, 2 years. Linear network synthesis, nonlinear network simulation, advanced electronics, stochastic signal theory, microwave devices, digital systems, electronic measuring systems, communication systems, advanced device physics, principles of ICs, IC technology, computer simulation. 4 to 6 months, a 4 to 6 month project in device research or IC design. The basic course of this table will probably, for the large part, be common to the entire EE study. The advanced course contains a number of electives specific to IC design. In general, a primary emphasis in the curriculum should be exercised upon network or system behavior, static as well as dynamic, linear, nonlinear, and digital. A second emphasis should be on the physical principles of today's solid-state devices. An important part of the curriculum is the student's own activity in the analysis of electronic networks. It demonstrates the context of the subjects taught and familiarizes him with measurement techniques and computer simulation. A final project on the design of an IC or on a device research topic is considered essential to the curriculum. As a reader may have noticed, relatively little time in the curriculum is spent on IC technology, either in teaching or lab exercises. It is our opinion that it is not realistic to spend extensive time on IC technology, as the student is not expected to become an IC technologist. To become an IC technologist, a basic knowledge of physical chemistry, metallurgy, thermodynamics, surface physics, and chemical analysis is required, which are subjects outside the EE range. On the other hand, we expect the future IC designer to be familiar with the language and parameters used to characterize technological structures. This can be taught by demonstrations and excursions or short IC technology lab assignments. When the student is doing his final project, there will be a special flavor to the work if possibilities exist to make the conceived IC or device structure. Making such a structure forces him to bargain with technologists and to check whether the actual samples behave as he anticipated. The possibilities of semiconductor device or IC fabrication obviously depend on the apparatus and personnel the department can afford. Interesting approaches, among which is a very low-cost IC lab, have been described in the literature. We, in our institute, have a small MOST IC lab working from mask to final encapsulation. The experience of our group and others active in the field of semiconductor device university research is that it provides a wealth of research subjects of short and long duration, generally very motivating to the student.